Leading off starts right now on Fantasy Pros. I am Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The Welsh, and it is, yes, a wonky Wednesday. It is Kelly Kirby in the house. We see penguins in the chat. Chat, get the penguins continuous going. Kelly, what's going on?
Not a lot. I started Mitch Keller last night, but I managed to get up today, so things are good.
Where was that?
Yeah.
Good to have you here. It's actually good to have you here. You always know, by the way, if you guys don't come and check out the YouTube Live, you always know it's a Wednesday by the penguins absolutely dominating the chat with our peanuts and Cracker Jacks, all our awesome people hanging out with us today, as we are going to be going through everything that went down in baseball, everything that's coming up, and contract extensions. I know they're not quite exciting, except when these really, really young, crazy hot prospects sign big money, taking out all of their arbitration, taking out their free agent years, and the realization that Michael Harris, who signed, congratulations to him, an 8-year, $72 million deal, but I'm going to throw this at you. He will not be a free agent until he's 32 years old. Like, think about how young he is, how great he is. That's the state of baseball. Signed a contract. It's pretty good money. Football, Derwin James, a safety, just signed a 4-year, $76 million. Okay, 8 years, $72 million for Michael Harris. He will not be a free agent until 32. I still will stand that this is bad for baseball, but it's great for the Braves, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll be 52 when his contract ends. So
Let's not do that. Let's not put our age. You're like, I know.
Even typing it in, I was like, 32. No, I think it's great for them. The fun fact I put in there later is just kind of insane for the Braves have.
Why don't you give us a fun fact? Let's just rock it right now, because I think it's kind of a wild thing to process. I'll let you do it if you want. This actually looks like a dynasty trade. I'm gonna actually throw this out. So think of like a dynasty trade in your mind of these players, but go ahead with that fun fact.
All right. So Ronald Acuna, Ozzy Albies, Austin Riley, and Michael Harris have now signed long contracts with the Braves. Combined, they are going to earn $419 million. Mike Trout signed a contract for $426.5 million. So
that's like 4 years ago, that dynasty trade, where it had been like, do I want all of these young guys, especially on the same team? It worked out. Here's another one to throw at you. I don't have the exact number here, but I just thought of it. And think of the Rangers, who have Corey Seager and Marcus Semien at like about $500 million. And it's like, you know, what would you rather have? You get one Trout, you get a Seager Semien, or you get Acuna, Albies, Riley, and Michael Harris. It's pretty good. The Braves are pretty good at what they do. For whatever reason, don't seem to have any issue buying out all these guys' arbitration and buying out free agent years and having control for through really like, you know, 2027 is for the most part for most of these guys. So they don't really lock up the pitchers. You know, it's funny. We were talking about the Rookie of the Year stuff yesterday and how Spencer Strider is a current leader and Michael Harris is the plus money right behind him. And Strider, you know, good start this week, but no contract extension for Strider. And Michael Harris, I believe, came even later in that process. But they love their hitters. It seems like they have the inverse Mets thing, where it's they want to pay the hitters and then they are going to go and buy the pitchers into the future, where the Mets used to pay the hitters and homegrown the pitchers in whatever attempt when it was Noah Syndergaard and DeGrom. But do you like this deal? I mean, obviously you like it for the Braves, but do you like it for Michael Harris if we wanted to play that card, if we wanted to play the players card?
Yeah, it's so long. I mean, 8 years. I wish it was five. I think five would just feel a little bit better for him. But I was just thinking about it. None of them are represented by Boris, right? I mean,
no, Michael Harris. Actually, it's funny you say that, because a friend of mine, Dennis Sidler, who owns a great company called Sid's Graphs, does all these autographs. He has an exclusive deal with Michael Harris that he signed. And Michael Harris is so all of like when he signs bats and stuff, he can only do it through Dennis. So SidsGraphs.com. There's a nice plug for him. And we were actually talking about this, and he's got a smaller agent. Not even an agency, really. It's like a smaller, kind of very individual agent that got this done, not Boris. And to your point, I don't think any of those guys are Boris. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because he usually just absolutely prevents people from doing the extensions. So for Harris himself, yeah, I think it's good because he's super young. I kind of agree with you in terms of it's bad for baseball, and it with like the 8 years, it's just a really long time to know a guy's not going anywhere.
And we know nothing will ever get fixed with baseball. I mean, they can't like, you know, they can't play while trying to figure out what's the best thing for the game. So they hold out and then they try to come up to other agreements that might help baseball, like let's even say the international draft. And everybody just says no unless they get what they want. So why did we ever think there'd be any type of cap or year cap or anything to contracts? I mean, this is good for player. This is good for the teams more than anything else. And I suppose you could always argue it's good to see players stay on the same team. It's just, I don't know. I see 8, 10, 12-year contracts, and it's just like, okay, like that's wild. But to be fair, in baseball, you know, football, like I mentioned, this guy Derwin James with the Chargers signed a deal, 4-year, $76 million, I think, today. You know, he will get his second contract still in his 20s, but baseball's lifespan is so much bigger. So even though Michael Harris will be 32, as long as he doesn't pull like a Jacob Hayward or anything like that, that – at 32, you can still sign a massive another second deal. And that would be the big, big money day. They don't all get like Juan Soto. So Michael Harris's huge year is going to pay off. And we'll see what happens with the rookie. Speaking of the Mike Trout comp here, Mike Trout could return to the lineup this week. And if not, it could be probably early next week. But either way, Kelly, we are getting Mike Trout back very soon. Are your expectations anything?
No, I have no expectations for him at this point. I feel like they're going to try to keep him healthy, which means we're going to just see so much more of him DHing or just doing less of what he normally does
in weekly leagues to that point right there. Like, I mean, you always have the advantage of being able to just throw guys out at DH, except you have Shohei Ohtani. So it just like the Angels have with us as fantasy owners, when you draft Ohtani and have the two-way player, your utility is pretty much locked up. You're not going to go and be able to have a lot of flexibility. Do you think because Ohtani is going to be locked in at DH and how the season is going and Trout's current health, that there could be a tiny bit of danger in weekly leagues? I don't know if there's a way that we could ever justify not starting him in really any capacity, but weekly leagues could get messy if he plays 2 days, sits one, then there's an off day and they're trying to give him 2 straight days. And all of a sudden, you know, you're getting maybe 3 games out of him in a given week when you could get 6 from Vaughn Grissom, you know, something like that.
Right. Right. So. Yeah. If especially like the counting categories is you just can't. Yeah. When he's in, he could be fantastic. But we also don't know what that's going to look like with the back injury. You know, does he swing less hard? I have no idea. I just could cut on everything.
It's actually going to be really important. It's going to be really important to watch Mike Trout. I think it's going to tell a big story about what we might be in for. It's not going to tell everything for next year, because when the season's done, Trout rests, you know, we come back. But I really want to see like how does he perform. You know, I don't really care how the Angels treat him, but is how is all of this going to readjust? Are we really going to be on the downside of this? Or we're going to look back on this, which I think is most likely a situation. We're going to look back on all this stuff and we're going to be like, haha, wasn't that funny when we like doubted Mike Trout? And we can just still never doubt him, but the back issue is no good. The other headlining piece, though, I do think it's funny. I think it was like John Heyman and a couple people were like, Yankees top prospect, Estevan. Listen, Estevan Florial has had all the opportunities in the world. He ain't a top prospect anymore. So don't get it twisted. Estevan Florial puts up video game type of numbers in the minors and completely disappears. This is an Atari versus a PS5 type of thing. He is PS5 in AAA, and he is Atari when he gets to the majors. He doesn't steal those 32 bases that he has in the minors. He doesn't hit those 14 homers. He has a career 206 average in the majors, though it's been short stint. I've seen him so much live in the minors from a couple different AFL stints. He has got all the intangibles except a consistent hit tool. It's actually very reminiscent of Jared Kelnick with just actually higher speed potential, but he's getting called up. And I think we're in a real big kind of prospect, you know, influx right now where it's like, hey, Shane Langeliers even came up and he's rocking and Vaughn Grissom and all that. But it's like, Florial to me is not that guy, a very true quad A player, but I know he's going to get some ramp up. He's going to get some ramp up by a lot of people. Do you have any interest in Florial? Cause he is a power speed combo guy, no doubt.
I don't at this point with him because exactly that, when he gets called up, it just goes away. The only thing I like, you know, again, is the Yankees in that ballpark and with that lineup, if he does get on, he could boost like runs and whatnot, but I just don't trust it. I don't trust Kelenic. I mean, they're just guys that I can't put on my team at all. So
yeah, I mean, there's big strikeout numbers, but you know, to be fair, what he has changed is really got back on the base paths. Last year, played 78 games in AAA, and only stole 13 bases, and he stole none in Double A for a little tiny stint. Average was crap last year. This year in Triple A, he's hitting right around 280, stole 30. Power numbers seem to be in line, but strikeout numbers also seem to be relatively in line. So, as where I said, like, I would go and speculate on Shane Langeliers early on, which I think is look good. He looked good. Great, you know, power hit double, I think, in his first hit. Florio's not a guy that I'm looking to speculate on. There's other guys, and actually we'll talk about one in just a minute. Some injuries. Jorge Polanco out of the lineup against the Royals today. Kyle Schwarber out of the lineup. That was fun. Call him. He was out Tuesday, out Wednesday. Ledmys Diaz could be placed on the IL, the 10-day, according to Dusty Baker. And Clay Holmes may need a 15-day IL stint due to a back issue. May need a season-long IL stint due to everything. Boy, remember when he was good? Remember that point in the season where we were like, Clay Holmes should save games over Aroldis Chapman? Mm-hmm. And here we are now, Kelly.
I literally dropped him for Matt Bush in a league. It was ugly, but I was like, I got to get him out of here.
Hearing that was a little rough. That's all.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to do what you got to do. So if you are looking for a prospect to pick up, because that is the fun, that is the trend. There are guys we've talked about. Obviously, Corbin Carroll is someone. Corbin Carroll and Gunnar Henderson are the two biggest impactful players that are floating around. We just don't know what their teams are going to do with them. Another guy that, though I do not believe he has enough games under his belt, is absolutely terrorizing baseballs. And it's, I talked about it a couple weeks ago because I was at his season debut, Josh Jung. Josh Jung is someone that you guys need to pay a little bit more extra attention to if you haven't, because he played a couple games in Complex, moved up to AAA, and he is he's destroying at a level where it's a disservice for them, unless it's manipulation, to just continuously keep him down there. At this point, let the Rangers use it up in the majors. Josh Jung hitting 320 on the season with a 400 OBP and an 800 slugging. That good old 348 slash that everybody knows about. Seven homers with a stolen base in 17 games. Nine or 10 games. But either way, 10 of his 17 hits this season have been extra base variety. He had six games so far in AAA. He's hitting 400. I don't think he's going to come up this week, but I think this is the preemptive move to get your guy, get your prospect. The contact ability has really adjusted. He looks so much better than he did when I saw him here in Complex. He's getting the ball up even more. The power is going through the roof. He makes immense contact, and he looks like he dropped even some weight, very athletic. How willing are you to be speculative on a guy like Josh Jung that you would have to eat days?
I wouldn't have any trouble doing that. Depending on how deep the league is and where I'm at, if I have the space to kind of hide him on my bench. I drafted Jonathan India all over the place, so that bench is a little busy right now. But I could totally take him at any time. So
in a, let's say a 12 team, you could use some bat help, but that also means you could use some bat help and you could use it now. Would you be willing to drop, you know, I'm trying to think of like a speculative bat bench guy that comes off the top of my head, but like, let's say, you know, you got a relatively shorter bench. Is he the type of guy that you would want to have on the bat? Cause he's going to hit for high contact. Are you going to sacrifice a bench spot to maybe, let's say, eat a week and a half? Would you do that for Jung, or is it just not advantageous because you're in a potential like playoff-ish run?
Yeah, depending. Again, I would do it if the rest of, even in one of my leagues, I think we have three bench spots. I would have no trouble dropping any of the guys I currently have in there for him. So
okay,
I'll wait on him.
Yep. Get some Josh Jung before, you know, pops up. They obviously, he needs the at bats. I do think he's a potential guy for the Arizona Fall League, so they're not going to want to exhaust prospect eligibility, but just keep an eye out for it. He makes a lot of sense. Get him some at bats at the majors, throw him over to the Arizona Fall League for more at bats since he's missed so much time this year. But Josh Jung, definitely one of the big names as we continue to speculate and try to find the next big guy that's going to get a call up, because we're all having fun with that. This day in baseball, 1990, in Chicago's 4-2 win over Texas, Carlton Fisk homers off of Charlie Hough to become the all-time home run leader with 187 in White Sox history and the all-time leader in home runs by a catcher at 328. And when you know it, we got more catcher questions here, Kelly. I don't think you saw the answer to this because I quickly deleted it as I posted it, but I have a trivia question for you. Francisco Alvarez, speaking of top prospects with the New York Mets, is just the third catcher to be MLB.com's number one overall prospect. Can you name the other two? Can everybody name?
Do you want me to take a guess?
I mean, chat can start getting in here. I think Kelly might be able to get this, but there were three number one overalls. One's going to probably be pretty easy here. The other one, maybe not so much if you think about who were the other two number one overall MLB pipeline catching prospects, number one overall.
Matt Wieters was the only one I could think of, but I don't know if that's right.
That is incorrect.
All right. Well, I guess I'm off the show. I'll see you later. First guess.
Yeah, sorry. Piazza, incorrect. It's a good guess. These are good guesses in here. I think there's one very, very easy one. The other one, when you know it, you'll be like, oh, duh. But I don't think you'll think of it as what I want to be honest. Waiters would have been one of the first I would have said, one of the absolute first I would have said here. So I don't blame you here. Andrew, absolutely nailed it. Joe Mauer and Adley Rutschman. Go Cards actually got Rutschman first. Adley Rutschman and Joe Mauer were the top. Adley Rutschman was their midseason 2021 top overall prospect, similar to what Alvarez has right now. And Joe Mauer was the preseason 2004 number one overall prospect at catcher. Good guesses, though. You got, like, you know, Posey in there and stuff. So only so many you could do. But we're looming into, oh, you know what? Here's a great question. Who would you rather speculate on right now, Josh Jung or Francisco Alvarez in redraft?
Ooh, in redraft. In redraft, I'd rather have Jung. But like in the dynasty, I might store Alvarez first.
Okay. So. Yeah, I mean, depending your catching situation, what makes that tough is like, what if you had like an Adley already? You know, you would be resigned, I suppose. You would be resigned to utility if you were to bring up Alvarez. But Alvarez is bad as what's going to get him in here, and he would DH when he comes up. So I kind of agree. I think I would go Jung, but Alvarez might beat him there. So if anybody is looking, those are probably your two biggest guys. Some stat heroes from yesterday. Reese Hoskins, 3-for-6, 2 homers, 5 RBI with a stolen base. That's a combo meal. And I picked the wrong Philly. Nick Fortes also had 2 homers going 3-for-4. Nick Castellanos had a bomb getting on the offensive side. Garrett Stubbs with a homer. Julio Rodriguez 3-for-5 with a home run. Kerry Carpenter with a bomb. Matt Olson with a bomb. And Nico Horner. Are you with me, Kelly, on Kerry Carpenter's little run that's going on here, this power output? I feel like every day or every other day since his call-up, we have said his name on this show that he is just putting up stats.
Yeah, no, I am totally with you. After yesterday, I picked him up because he was still available, like, all over everywhere.
Well, no, a friend of mine, Joe Rocha, who has a couple great shows, you should go check him out on Twitter, was nice enough to give me a little bit of love, saying I had never heard of Kerry Carpenter before I talked about him. And he was a dude that was just really killing it in the minors. And as I said yesterday, or whatever it was, 2 days before, that the only problem was when he was like 24 years old at AA, it was kind of like, you know, like, let's not go nuts about it. But then it's AAA. The whole season in, he's just consistently been hitting for power, hitting over 300. Now he's in the majors in a very, very short sample size. He's hitting over 300 with 2 bombs already, 6 hits, playing some left field. He also can be a corner infield type of guy. It's a very interesting bat, and it's a wild thing to think that the Tigers have prioritized him over Spencer Torkelson, who, by the way, is hitting sub 200 in AAA right now.
It's so depressing for me because, I mean, I loved Spencer Torkelson. If you look at my best ball drafts from January, I think I have him in every single one. But, yeah, so I had never heard of Kerry Carpenter until you started talking and grabbed him. I dropped Mitch Keller in that league, by the way, but for him. So I that's a win no matter what I do, I guess. But, yeah, I think he's a good pickup right now for sure.
Oh, I'd love to see a screenshot of somebody. I mean, they wouldn't have lined up, but it would just be a great thing to just process of seeing, like, dropped Spencer Torkelson, picked up Kerry Carpenter, something we never would have imagined in really any universe, any of the multiverses. I don't think there's many. We're living out the one in 550 million, whatever, Doctor Strange, Tony Stark versions where Kerry Carpenter is overvalued. It's pretty amazing. Charlie Morton, 6 2/3, 12 strikeouts on 3 hits yesterday. Nick Pivetta had 6 strikeouts and 7. Sonny Gray, 6 with 10 strikeouts, only 3 hits. Really good performances. Merle Kelly continues to just keep putting up numbies. 7 with 7. And Jacob Jonas, 7 with 7 strikeouts. Do you think Merrill, being on such a bad team, needs to be way, way more highly rated next season when we start to look at ranks. He's in that class of like boring pitchers. I'd almost put him in the same like Adam Wainwrighty type of area where they just make things happen. But there's something a little bit different about Merrill. The Diamondbacks didn't move him, so he's stuck there. Get an influx of young guys. But do you think Merrill is still crazily underrated?
I think he's somewhat underrated because, again, because of the team he's on. But yeah, I feel like that consistency factor for people who aren't going to just sit and try to speculate on who the next big thing will be, or who aren't dazzled by the Striders with the 84 strikeouts and three innings and all of that. He's such a solid addition to pretty much any rotation you're trying to build. So he'll be one of those, like, I'm going to draft the all boring team.
Trustworthy. It's weird. It's weird that he's become like almost consistently trustworthy, where he's not one of those guys where you're like, match up. You know, I don't know mm-hmm. about that. It's like, no, you just throw him out. He just does it. Yep. Him and Gallen have really been a good 1-2 punch for my very, very loser team this year. Stat zeros. And that is my Diamondbacks real life team. Maybe, not many fantasy. Mm-hmm. I have some loser fantasy teams, but not with Merrill Kelly on them, because they'd probably be, you know, bigger winners.
Right.
Stat zeros. Gavin Lux, 0 for 4, 4 strikeouts. Ugh. Riley Green, 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts. Max Muncy with 3 Ks. Colton Wong, Jeff McNeil, Jeremy Pena, Jared Walsh, Matt Chapman, all big 3K performances for you. Yay. On the pitcher side, TJ Zoich, 6 earned runs, 11 hits given up, and 4. Mitch Keller, 2 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks. Zach Plesac, he gave up 4, walk 3, only struck out 3. We say goodbye to Mitch Keller, but we say hello to the home runs. We do not have an updated home run board. I was not given it. But Kelly, we have a tight, tight race at the top. Hi, Cubby. Got a Franmil Reyes bomb. That was also your call. You guys, we had some, I mean, everybody but me had insane calls yesterday. All of them were hit. You and Bubba both had Franmil, as did Hi, Cubby, who is in the lead at 44 homers. D-Blum, though, had Vladdy, so he's at 43. So we have a 1-2 punch going. Three others are in the 40s. Mike Mayer, Go Cards, and Terry with 41. Mike Mayer had a Derek Hall call, which, if that was that whole, like, no one else picks a guy wonky bonus, that would have been a great one. And we've got some 30s that are just coming up the rear there. So what type of bonus do we have on the Wonky Wednesday today?
So I decided we're going to go with the 27 club. I mean, I know it's a terrible club with musicians, but we're going to give it a shot in baseball. So if you call a player whose current age as of today is 27 or younger, then you'll get a bonus point for each home run that he hits.
Okay. So keep in mind at the end of the show, when we're going to do our home run calls, you got to get those under 27. So there'll be no Judges and Goldschmidts, and those picks will not play if you want bonus points today on a Wonky Wednesday. Friends, the prop sheets and the bets are brought to you by BetMGM. Go and check them out today. Use the promo code LEADINGOFF. Get a risk-free $1,000 bet. Do it today. Promo code LEADINGOFF. You can download the app. You can get on the website. Do it. Why would you not? Because there's awesome bets to be had, and I've got some for you here. We've got the top total base and strikeout on the Betting Pros cheat sheet algorithm. And then we've got the best plus money one. So I'm giving you their top, but then I'm also giving you the top plus money. I'm going to lay these out. And Kelly, I want to know what your favorite is. The top, actually the number one bet of any bet was Juan Soto at Miami total bases, which is at 1. It's actually at a half. So you just got to get 1 total base today, but it's juiced up. It's at -173. So you'd have to really, really pay up if you want to play it. But boy, does that one look really good. The best plus money total base one, I love it even more, Paul Goldschmidt versus Colorado. It is +117. You got to get 2 total bases. On the strikeouts, these were actually the top 2 strikeout bets of the day, according to the prop cheat sheet over at bettingpros.com. Jake Odorizzi versus the Mets was the number one. You only need 4 strikeouts. It's -130. It's actually not horrible juice there. The top plus money, Ross Stripling versus Baltimore. You also only need 4 because it's at 3.5, and you're getting plus money at 115. So Soto, Goldschmidt, total bases, Odorizzi, Stripling, strikeouts. Kelly, what's your favorite? And if you even like more than one, knock it out.
Well, the one I wrote down was Ross Stripling. I just like it because of the plus money. I wouldn't touch Odorizzi for anything. They could probably put it at 0.5, and I would know he would get it, and I still wouldn't put just money down for him.
Like, I just need 1 strikeout. You're like, nope, not going to do it.
Nope. That's the day he'll give up 9 singles and then leave. Yeah, and I think Juan Soto, because they're facing Lopez, I believe. And so the righty lefty, I would have no problem with him getting a single. I think that's very possible. So I also wrote down Derek Hall is also at 0.5, and I know he's facing a lefty, but that lefty is Nick Lodolo. So I think there's, you know, again, it's that single, and he's been hitting pretty well lately. So
those halves are really great. I mean, if I ever was like really dying to play those just halves where I need one total base, I'm probably going to look at parlaying. Just give me two. I don't like to do big, crazy parlays, but give me two. I got to tell you, maybe Derek Hall and Soto are a parlay. I like the Goldie. I like Gold. Get Goldie in there at plus money with Soto. Have a little bit of fun. You're probably going to get close to 250 or something like that on the money if you want to play it. And I don't know, even screw around with these two here with the strikeouts. I mean, I'm not going to do the Odorizzi. I agree with you. The Ross Stripling side, but maybe you can find another one. We can do that. And yes, this was asked about again. I swear to you, she hid it. My daughter hid the princess tiara somewhere, but we'll get it. We'll get it at some point. You know what I need is I need to be like reminded. I need like an out of show reminder when my kid gets off of school to be like, where did you hide? It's the great mystery of leading off for this year is what happened to the tiara. It was stolen and it has not returned. If you're looking for some DFS stuff, if you want to take a look at some starting pitchers, I thought there's a couple of really good money plays you could have in here. And then there's some big dogs over on FanDuel. DraftKings numbers are not all quite out there, but Jordan Montgomery, I guess I just kind of been echoing this a lot of Quintana and Montgomery with the Cardinals. I just also think it's a good matchup. Jordan Montgomery, 8.7 on FanDuel. Tyler Molly, 9.5. And then the big dogs, Carlos Rodon up against the Diamondbacks, 10.7. And Max Scherzer, 11.5. I also took a look at the implied run totals. And you've got three teams with five implied runs or more. Seattle, Texas, and the Dodgers. So maybe you want to take a look at those for some stacks. You can get some of the cheap players in there if you're wanting to put those together. And that takes us to our home run calls of the night. The wonky bonus is 27 or younger, and you get an extra point for every home run hit. So, Kelly, what are you doing? I would love it if you would have been like, I'm taking 50-year-old Albert Pujols on this one.
I'm taking Albert Pujols today. I'm like, you know, screw my bonus. No, I'm going with Vinny Pascantino, and I do not understand why anyone is calling him anything other than Italian breakfast. Like, I'm seeing all these other little Italian, like beef and Italian other stuff.
Little nicknames?
Yeah, and I'm like, no, Italian breakfast. Hang out there. Stay there. I think he's facing Molly, but I think if he can get a hold of one, the wind's going to blow out a little bit in Minnesota today.
So. I like that one too. There was a part of me that wanted to even look at like Bobby Witt if I was going on the young side, but it's just not like the best matchup in the world. I'm going to tell you this, and I'll probably regret this. So my brain, when I first did it this morning, I kind of had it's going to be a young guy, if you don't pick them, the last week bonus, where I get the extra points if no one else is doing it. So I was going to throw him out, and I was going to be like, all right, that's what I'm going to do, and it's Shane Langeliers. That was going to be my guy. But then when I noticed it was just they need to be 27 or younger, and they're not going to have to be a guy that no one else took, I changed it, and I'm going with Julio Rodriguez. So that means Shane Langeliers will hit a homer tonight, and Julio will go 0-for-4. That's the law of the land. That's how that works, Kelly.
Yes. Yep, you might as well put money down on Langeliers. Yep.
You might as well. Yeah, exactly. Nah, Langeliers. Remember, go and check it out. I had to quote tweet. I think like seven people understood my quote tweet yesterday when Langeliers got a hit, and I did the gif of the just horror. Again, the series was horrific, but it was awesome at the time of the did you watch the Langeliers? Were you with me on the Langeliers?
No, because I stayed clear of most of Stephen King. So
okay, I mean, a little
that's a rule of thumb.
You know what? That's a pretty good rule of thumb. I appreciate that. I think I got my line. Oh, this is a good line. Dr. Glenn giving me 8 innings, 5 strikeouts, 3 hits, a walk, 0 earned runs. This is a Alcantara-like line I'm getting today for my hosting. Kelly, do you back this line up?
I do, but I think it's because you had a really good pitch framer. Catcher.
Okay.
So
yeah,
you're called the right pitches. Right.
Listen, you guys don't understand. Kelly's over here. She's like two, and I'm like, okay. I don't shake off Kelly.
Just throw it.
Yeah, I just throw it. When Kelly's in here, I throw the pitch. I don't shake off. Kelly, what do you got going on? What do people need to be checking out from you over either on the Twitter at the Wonky Penguin or Fantasy Pros?
I've really been into doing lots of retweets on just insane facts. There was one on Fran Milreyes that you should just go check it out because it's crazy. Yeah, but otherwise right now, I think this week is pretty light in terms of my having to write because we're doing a lot of editing. But I also retweet some really, really funny little tiny videos to make your day better. So I'm good on all sorts of different options. Yeah.
For all your entertainment needs. You actually said something I was dying to know, and I almost asked when you said, like, who was it? The pitcher. You're like, you give up 9 straight hits or whatever. It got me thinking, what's the most singles consecutively that a hitter's ever given up?
Straight,
through straight batters. Like, what's the most hits, whatever type of hit it is, that any pitcher has given up before leaving the game? I have to imagine it's like 8 or 9. Can someone find
out?
I don't know. Well, if someone does, report back. I will give you love for it. Friends, you can find me on Twitter at @isitthewelsh. Make sure you subscribe to this, not only the podcast, but the YouTube channel. Get those numbers up as we close out and get you guys some championships. That is it for the show today. Bubba is back in the house tomorrow. For Kelly Kirby, I am Chris Welsh. It's Leading Off by Peanuts by Cracker Jacks. You guys have a good one. Peace.
See ya.